Mac Jones showing rather bits and pieces of his frustration with McDaniels. I noticed it yesterday during the game. I don't know if you did, but what I took away from that is this, and I want to talk about this during the segment because I thought this was rather very telling. And I'm going to tell you exactly why I thought that was really telling as we are going to stop for PSA, which is brought to you by 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Stay tuned.
Vicky, how you doing? How's the knee?
It's coming along, doctor, but still some soreness.
Well, let's see. You know, this soon after surgery, some pain is pretty normal.
I was hoping to get more painkillers. The first round worked great.
We're being very careful with those now. Prescription painkillers are opioids, same as heroin. It's easy to start taking them, not so easy to stop.
Last year in America, an average of 40 people died from opioid abuse every day. Long-term addiction has become America's newest health epidemic.
So no pills?
Vicky, you're doing great. So let's try these anti-inflammatories, plus your physical therapy. If the soreness doesn't continue to get better, give me a call.
For opioids, the smaller the dose prescribed and taken, the better. Because even a few prescription painkillers can sometimes go a long, wrong way. A message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons and the Orthopedic Trauma Association. Visit orthoinfo.org/prescription safety.
Wake up and text. Text and eat.
Mm-mm.
Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time.
Ugh.
Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
91.5 WMFO Medford.
This is Steven Pinker, and you are tuned in to WMFO in Medford, 91.5 FM, pure pleasure technology, Tufts freeform and educational radio.
Leave your kids behind, come with us and find the pleasures of the journey to the center of the mind.
And that was one of the PSAs, and as well as the station identification, as we are now entered the 6 o'clock hour of the Shukri Right Show at 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. And appreciate, as always, to those who are listening in. But in continuation with the point that I was making before, see, Mac Jones is someone that he obviously is at the beginning of what he hopes and what we all hope is a long and very productive NFL career. But Mac Jones getting upset with Josh McDaniels isn't the issue. I don't have a problem with that, but my issue is with Josh McDaniels. Why have you allowed this to get to the point where you are now suddenly the most conservative play caller in the league as an offensive coordinator? Why? That's my problem. And I want to spend a few minutes talking about this because, for the life of me, I can't seem to understand why the tentativeness. Why? Why the hesitation? Why do you feel the need to say, hey, you know, we're just going to continue to have the training wheels on? I'm sorry, do you not understand that this is a quarterback that doesn't need training wheels? Here's the truth, ladies and gentlemen. Every rookie quarterback is going to make mistakes, period. Some of the all-time great quarterbacks have made a lot of mistakes in their rookie year. Go ask Peyton Manning about his in 1998. That's just an example. But the point is, I really just hate, and I do mean hate, what this offense is becoming now of Josh McDaniels, the play caller. I despise it. These are my reasons why. Number one, you take away Mac Jones's ability to get creative with the play calling. That doesn't protect him. That hurts him. Because I could tell, just based on the broadcast yesterday, that it just seemed like he wanted to do some different things within the offense that he was not given the liberty to do. And that's just keeping it all the way 100. Number two, another reason why I hate this so much is because I feel as if that Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels, to some degree, are not on the same page. You saw it last week against the Houston Texans in Houston. Yesterday, you didn't really see that a whole lot. But I'm sure that there are conversations being had internally within the confined walls of Gillette Stadium about how are we going to call this game? What type of play calls are we going to have Mac Jones run in the offense against this opponent, against that opponent? I'm sure that's ongoing right now. But can you, for one moment, just at least admit that what you have seen over the last few weeks has been nothing short of frustrating to watch? Especially in key situations in ball games. Now, what I will say is this. When we talk about Mac Jones and the mistakes that he's made and all of those things and so forth, I give Mac Jones a lot of credit. I really do. Because this is someone who has learned to turn the page. And it matters in this league. It absolutely matters. Because we saw Mac Jones yesterday throw a pick six. That should not have thrown that interception. Let's call a spade a spade. But what I absolutely loved was that 5 minutes later. I mean, 5 minutes later, the man throws a 75-yard touchdown pass to Kendrick Bourne. You want to talk about the ability to just turn the page. This is exactly what the Patriots needed. This is what they want from Mac Jones. Hey, you made a mistake. Okay, go get him on the next drive. Boom. And it gave the Patriots the lead, as we all know, a lead that was very much short-lived. Now, I am concerned about the play calling of the Patriots because one of the things that has stood out to me so far this season is the lack of belief, the lack of trust. And what makes this particularly maddening to watch is that they'll tell you, we trust him, we have the most faith in him. Is that so? How about you give Mac Jones the keys to the Lamborghini and let him see what he does? If he succeeds, great. If he crashes, he learns. He's not going to die if he takes the Lamborghini for like a test drive, like on the football field. Come on. The worst thing that'll happen is that he gets up and he realizes, oh man, I can't make that mistake again. But isn't that supposed to be part of the growing process when it comes to young quarterbacks in the league? Yeah, that is. But what I don't enjoy is the perpetual coddling and holding him by the hands like, no, 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 come this way. No. Don't do that. I hate that. Yesterday, we saw that. In the game against Houston, we saw that. We saw that at times against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This has been a continuous problem and a trend that I've noticed over the last several weeks. It's incredibly frustrating when you have a quarterback that you drafted in the first round and you feel that you have to continue to coddle him, to baby him, because that's what it seems like when I watch these games. Like, I don't see an offense where there's freedom in a sense of you make the play call, you choose what you want to do. How do you want to run this offense? I don't see that at all. What I see is it's a rabid dog being wound down by a leash to a steel metal plate that is anchoring him down. That's what I see. And what I also see is a quarterback that's like, hey, what the hell, man? Are you going to let me do this thing? Or are you going to continue to give me play calls and wish that, you know, damn well, it ain't working? Because guess what? In the red zone, this team sucks. This team absolutely sucks in the red zone. So why the hell do you continue to insist to call on these plays? Like, for example, with Brandon Bolden, for the love of the Almighty, send him to freaking Vancouver for all I care. I'm done. I am done. Why do you continue to get horny for Brandon Bolden to come into the game? Can you explain that to me? Like, what sense does this make? He's giving you next to nothing on the ground. He's giving you next to nothing in the red zone. Why on earth do you continue to insist to keep going to Brandon Bolden? It makes no sense. Like, I'm sure to the 70,000 Patriot fans who were at the game yesterday and the millions more watching at home were thinking, why we keep going to Brandon Bolden? And I can't even give you an honest answer, except I'll give you this take. They feel like they must be going back to him because they feel that, well, he's the most experienced guy in the offense. Although he absolutely blows, but he's the best that we got right now. Oh, I'm sorry. Whose fault is that? No, seriously. Whose fault is that right now? Is it Brandon Bolden, who sucks? Or is it Bill Belichick, the guy who constructed this roster together? Enlighten me, ladies and gentlemen, please. Because I don't get it. I don't get it. If you got any thoughts on the Patriots right now, where they currently are, and as to why this red zone offense absolutely sucks, call me, 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. Phone lines are open. And we got a lot to get into over the course of the next 45 minutes or so. But coming up next, we're going to talk some Bruins because they had a game. They had a game on Saturday night. Want to give you some of my takes on the opening game of the 2021-2022 Boston Bruins season. That and much more coming up next right here on the Shukri Wright Show. 91.5 FM, WMFO, and Medford Touch Freeform Radio.
time before I met you. I drink too much and that's an issue, but I'm okay. Hey, you tell your friends it was nice to meet them, but I hope I never see them again. I know it breaks your heart. Moved to the city in a broke down car and 4 years, no calls. Now you're looking pretty in a hotel bar and I can't stop. No, I can't stop. So baby, pull me closer in the backseat of your Rover that I know you can't afford. Bite that tattoo on your shoulder. The sheets right off the corner of the mattress that you stole from your roommate back in Boulder. We ain't ever getting older. We ain't ever getting older. We ain't ever getting older.
As good as the day I met you. I forget just why I left you. I was insane. Stay and play that Blink 182 song that we beat to death in Tucson. Okay,
not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. I came out in the 11th grade. Nobody was embracing you. The kids were cruel. It was very difficult to be gay. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
The hard part was determining that I was gonna do it, but I definitely didn't do it alone.
At age 30, with the help of her mentor, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
I have a mentor, Maria. She convinced me to continue my education and to finish what I started to get my diploma. Just never judges. She's a true role model. If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, go get it. You can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO and Medford Touch Freeform Radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. Glad you're able to join the program this evening as we are now officially entering Monday night. Hooah! Man, listen. I mean, with this earlier sunsets and so forth, it's no wonder why I look outside the window now and we hit like 6 o'clock, the sun's already going down. Like goodness grief. Like, are you kidding me? Like, let's go. Oh, man. Like, what more can you possibly ask for? Especially as fall is fully underway. And as part of fall being fully underway, that means hockey season is fully and well underway. But it does piss me off when I think about the fact that the Bruins' next game is not going to be until Wednesday. Like, are you freaking kidding me, NHL? You couldn't have done a more putrid job scheduling these games, thinking that, well, we'll give you a game here and you'll wait another 6 weeks until your next game. Like what the hell are we? Are we the NFL or something? Like, come on now. Goodness grief. Phone lines are open at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. The Bruins had a season opening game on Saturday night against the Dallas Stars, and they came out with a victory. They beat the Stars 3-1 on Saturday night, in which that, I mean, I want to talk about a lot over the next 12 minutes. And so if you have like thoughts or anything like that, feel free to call in. And I want to start with, let's start with Brad Marchand, shall we? Because I think as Bruins fans, it's pretty fair to say that we're past the point of amazement. Or should I say that we're past the point of being surprised anymore by what he does offensively? I mean, for him to score the first Bruins goal of the season on a penalty shot is so Brad Marchand-esque. It really is. Like, there is no other way to really put it or explain it except that this is what Brad Marchand does well. Like, for a guy that's 5'9", and the skill that he possesses, it's truly just amazing to watch. And yet again on Saturday night, all he did was say, hey, I'm going to draw the penalty. Watch me score on the penalty shot, which he did. And then we're just going to continue to just roll along. And this is what he did. This is what he does. And for the Boston Bruins as a whole, like, I mean, how do you not like what you saw? And I'm not going to only talk about the top line, because as we know, Brad Marchand scored 2 goals. He scored 2 of the 3 goals that the Bruins scored. The third goal going to Jake DeBrusque. And I'm going to get to him in just a moment. But man, whew, how big was that goal by Jake DeBrusque? More on him in just a moment, I promise. But if there was one thing in particular that I thought that was absolutely important for the Boston Bruins and the Bruins fans in general, and that is that third line. That third line, in my opinion, is going to be the most scrutinized line on this team this season. Not the top line. I'm not worried about the top line. I'm not worried about the second line, given that we're going to see more of Charlie Coyle perform as a second line centerman. But that third line was and is where my concern is going to lie. Because listen, you know that you brought in some new guys. You brought in new guys like Nick Foligno, for example. You brought in another player in Eric Haller, both out of free agency. And you have both of those guys join forces with Jake DeBrusque on a new-look third line. And I do wholeheartedly think and believe that this is a third line that is going to be very much under the microscope in terms of how good this team can be or how much this team will struggle offensively outside of its top line. And it's great to have options. I mean, I think this is something that we should all take into consideration. Jake DeBrusk absolutely had a horrendous season last season. We know that. I'm not going to harp on that. There's no reason to. But what I am going to do is this. What I am going to do is say that DeBrusk knew that he had a fresh slate, clean start by the coaches and upper management going into the new season. I saw it throughout preseason, and I saw it again Saturday night. This guy is playing with a whole different attitude, and it's refreshing to see how much jump he is playing with in terms of his offensive game. Because this is a guy that has shown you that he can score goals, but what you need to see out of him is consistency. That really is the real hallmark of Jake DeBrusk's career, the lack of consistency. But what we've seen so far, it's only been one game, and as well is that we have a chunk of preseason games to look back on in terms of how he has played up until this point, and as well as the reports coming out of training camp as well. That's what we have so far. But if you are a Bruins fan, man, how do you not like what you've seen so far out of Jake DeBrusk? I mean, truthfully, like, how can you not feel, like, pumped at all? For me, I'm fired up. I'm very fired up. I'm excited. And here's my reason why. You need him to succeed. In fact, last month, I wrote an article for Cross the Crowd, which is on the website now, in which I talked about Jake DeBrusk was going to be the most important Boston Bruin this upcoming season. I talked about this ad nauseum. You need him. You need to root for him. You need him to do well, because if he goes, make no mistake that Nick Foligno, who has consistently scored 20 goals per season alongside with Eric Haller, they are both going to go on that line. There's no question in my mind about that. So with Jake DeBrusk, I do think that this is a player that the Bruins need to get going, especially for the bottom six. Because the thing that I think is going to be equally as important as the offense is going to be on that third line is going to be the defensive responsibility of that third line. We talk about the forecheck and then Eric Haller, you know, being able to come in and pick up the loose puck and then finding Foligno, especially on the open ice. All of that is important, very important. And I do believe that can they be defensively responsible without taking away from the offense? And I do think the answer to that question is yes. The honest answer to that is yes. But we're going to see ups and downs. But I do think that this is something that if you're a Bruins fan, you have to feel really good about. Now, as far as the goaltending is concerned, there was a lot to have liked from the opening game as it pertains to Jeremy Swayman. I found it that he really played a really sound game on Saturday night against Dallas. 27 saves on 28 shots. Outstanding. Very, very sound, very technical in terms of his ability to track pucks. And that was something that I really enjoyed. Like, I enjoyed tremendously. And that if you're a Bruins fan and you're paying attention to the development of Jeremy Swayman moving forward, there was a lot to really like based on what you saw on Saturday night. And I think that if you are paying attention to how he plays and how important he is going to be for this team, I wholeheartedly believe that Jeremy Swayman, he should be the starter. But that debate is neither here or there. If you have thoughts, hit me up. Call into the program. 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636. I mean, there was a lot to like. I mean, I'm pumped just talking about it and just thinking about what this team could potentially be as we are ready to get a new season underway. And that season is now one game old. Don't worry, Bruin fans. Just 48 more hours until the next one in Philadelphia against the Flyers. By the way, that game is going to be exclusively on TNT. That's on Wednesday night. I mean, you talk about this team being able to just mesh early on, and I really have liked what I've seen. I had an opportunity to go to Bruins training camp during the preseason, and I really like how it just seems like they really just mesh together so well already. And Marchand has already echoed those same sentiments. He said, quote, it just dragged on, Marchand said of training camp. But I think with the group we have, we've bonded so quickly already and really come together quickly that I think we are all really excited to see what we're going to do this year, how it's going to play out. And I think tonight was just a great example, especially early, with how good of a team we're going to be. I agree. I'll also say if the Bruins have three lines that can produce offensively, this is a pretty solid team. And especially for a division that is going to be tight, you need to get the points early on. It's going to be imperative for the Boston Bruins to get up to a really solid start. When you talk about what the rest of the division is going to look like, I mean, listen, you talk about in the Atlantic Division. In the Atlantic Division alone, you got Florida, you got Tampa Bay, you got Montreal, and obviously you got Toronto. I mentioned Florida, Toronto, Tampa Bay, and Montreal. Right now, guess who's tied for first place in the Atlantic? The Panthers and the Buffalo Sabres. Yes, it's only been what, two games each for both clubs? Yeah, so I'm not reading much into it, but you get the point that I'm making. And the point that I'm making is that for considering how competitive this division is going to be, you need to get the points early. Bruins played one game, they got both the points, and that's all you could really ask for. That's all you can ask for, ladies and gentlemen. And also, I'm curious to see, like, how important the role of Chris Kelly is going to be for this team moving forward. I really am curious to see, like, how he will do as an assistant head coach on Bruce Cassidy's staff. And also, I do wonder about Jeremy Swayman in particular as to where does he head to now in terms of the next stages of his development. And I'm not just talking about only in terms of like in between the pipes, but continuing to grow as a young goaltender in the NHL. Because I really would hate for him to have another, like another Philadelphia Flyers-esque situation with the Boston Bruins, which the Bruins, I'm not worried about. Like, that's never been a thing with the Bruins. The Bruins have had a pretty steady stewardship of goaltending over the last, 15 years? Yeah. So I'm not worried about that. It's more of his personal development that I'm most interested in keeping an eye out for, paying attention to, and so forth. I can't believe time is flying by so fast. the more I think about it, the more I say to myself, good grief, Kim, could we just slow down with the time already? Like, damn, thanks. Coming up next, one more segment of the program. I am going to be previewing Game 3 of the American League Championship Series between the Astros and the Red Sox. That's going to be coming up next on the other side of this music break right here on the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. This is Shukri Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Touch Free From Radio.
If you came across someone struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them? By their clothes, their age, the way they speak? Would you notice an 8-year-old girl who's not excited for summer break
because she may not be having lunch again until September?
Or a single father of two who works three
part-time jobs and still can't put enough food on the table?
Or maybe a mother who cleans offices at night,
hoping to find meeting leftovers to take home to her hungry family?
Or a war veteran who's having a hard time
landing a job and getting back on his feet?
I am the one in 8 Americans who struggle with hunger. People you pass by every day but never knew were hungry. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America, 200 Food Banks Strong, and the Ad Council.
Here's to the ones that we got. Cheers to the wish you were here, but you're not. Cause the drinks bring back all the memories of everything we've been through. Toast to the ones in today. Toast to the ones that we lost on the way. Cause the drinks bring back all the memories, and the memories bring back your. There's a time that I remember when I did not know no pain, when I believed in forever and everything would stay the same. Now my heart feel like December when somebody say your name. Cause I can't reach out to call you, but I know I will one day, hey. Everybody hurts sometimes, everybody hurts someday, hey, hey. But everything gon' be alright, gon' raise a glass and say, hey. Here's to the ones that we got. Cheers to the wish you were here, but you're not. Cause the drinks bring back all the memories of everything we've been through. Toast to the ones in today. Toast to the ones that we lost on the way. Cause the drinks bring back all the memories, and the memories bring back your. Memories bring back your. There's a time that I remember when I never felt so lost, and I felt all of the hatred was too powerful to stop. Now my heart feel like an ember, and it's lighting up the dark. I'll carry these torches for ya, and you know I'll never drop. Yeah. Everybody hurts sometimes, everybody hurts someday, yeah, yeah. But everything gon' be alright. Gonna raise a glass and say, hey. Here's to the ones that we got. Cheers to the wish you were here, but you're not. Cause the drinks bring back all the memories of everything we've been through. Toast to the ones in today. Toast to the ones that we lost on the way. Cause the drinks bring back all the memories, and the memories bring back your.
Welcome back to the Strictly Right Show on 91.5 FM WMFO and Medford Touch Free Farm Radio. Streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. I'm glad you're able to tune into the program and give this program a listen. Always appreciate it as always. You can call in. I'm only here for another 10, 11 minutes at most. 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. I know a lot of you are probably on your way to watching Game 3 of the American League Championship Series right now, as first pitch is at 8:07. And if you're listening to the program while making your way to whatever bar or restaurant to watch the game, and as well as for those who are going to the game, have a blast, because that's exactly what I'm going to be doing after I get off the air. So I can't wait. I'll be making my way somewhere in Boston to watch the game. I haven't even decided yet. I'll probably make a decision while I'm on the tee or whatever. But I can only imagine. It's Monday night. It's Bedlam. The ALCS is back in Boston for the first time in 3 years, since 2018, when they, you know, won the whole thing after all. So for tonight, the pitching matchup, it is going to be Eduardo Rodriguez versus Jose Urquidy on the mound at Fenway Park. First pitch, as I mentioned, is going to be at 8:08 Eastern Time. That game is on FS1, ESPN Radio, and locally here in New England is on EEI. So I am very much looking forward to watching the game tonight. And it's going to be very interesting, because the ALCS up until this point between the first two games, game one was on Friday night. I mean, that was debatable. That was very much a winnable game, if you ask me. And game two was basically an offensive explosion of historic proportion for the Boston Red Sox, as they became the first team to ever hit two grand slams in the same game, in the same postseason game. That had never happened before. Earlier today, Alex Cora joined High Heat on MLB Network and spoke with Chris Russo and Alana Rizzo to talk about the American League Championship Series. Here it is. This is courtesy of MLB Network.
We are so pleased to be joined by Alex Cora, the skipper of the Boston Red Sox. This game, the ALCS Series, knotted up at a game apiece, and it's been exciting so far, the two games, certainly. I know you like the outcome of the game two better. Happy birthday, by the way. You
Thank
too,
you.
Happy birthday.
BK2, right? BK2?
I think
yes.
You might be a little
BK2,
younger.
Right? Yes. Oh, man, amazing. We should do a show.
So thanks for spending your birthday with us. Oh. And other than another Red Sox win, what's the greatest gift you could receive?
How about honestly, 45 minutes in an 8-inning game?
That'll be great. That'll be great, so we can celebrate at home. Well, you know what? My mom flew in this morning. It's a family event.
Right.
So having them here, it means a lot. We're missing Joey, so you know, be ready, brother. Fly over. But having them around and enjoy this, I think it's been the biggest gift.
All right. Well, felicidades. Happy birthday
Gracias.
To you. But you got some things to do before you celebrate. This is an exciting series already, and now you guys get to come back home. I think the mindset, win one for sure in Houston and be able to come back tied up.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you want to be greedy, right, and win two. But I think we did a good job in both games. You know, Altuve with the home run put us in a bad spot, and then Correa hit a changeup out of the ballpark. But I think offensively, we're in a great place. And it started in the last game of the season against the Nationals halfway through it. Because in the beginning it didn't look too promising. I thought that we were going to play a four-team tournament in 3 days. But luckily we came back, and then the wildcard game was outstanding against the Rays, who probably have the best pick.
He had a three-home run game in the clinching game, game five of the National League Championship Series against the defending World Series champion Chicago Cubs at that time. This was back in October of 2017. So if you're a baseball fan, you've seen Kike Hernandez perform at a high level in October. This is not new. But what makes this particularly different is that Kike Hernandez at the time was a utility player for the Dodgers. Kike Hernandez is an everyday player for the Boston Red Sox. That's the difference. And also, I should add that also, this is a team that is finding ways to win against really good quality pitching. Tampa Bay, I think they arguably had the best pitching staff as a whole from top to bottom in the American League playoff entirely. Yes, even better than Houston. If you got any thoughts as it pertains to the Red Sox, I got a couple minutes left here with you at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. And we're going to continue to play a little bit of the clip from earlier today, Alex Cora joined High Heat on MLB Network, where he was interviewed by Alana Rizzo and Chris Russo. Take it away.
It's amazing when you think about how this works in postseason play. You lose 2 out of 3 to Baltimore, and Soto hits a ball that could leave the ballpark in the 8th inning on that Saturday afternoon. You blew that game. He didn't even be here. And you get
I
out
love
of
the fact you say you blew that game.
Not you.
You hit. You know,
I got you.
I'm a talk show host. I always say. But think about it. Then you beat the Yankees. You got off to, you know, you got to go off to a good start in the Yankees with Bogart sitting a home run against Cole. A lot of momentum. You lose that first game. You're down 5-2 early with a grand slam. It's amazing how the momentum can change. And right now you're riding a lot of wave with this ball club.
He's right. You want to talk about a team that is riding a wave right now as we're heading into this game 3. That's just a little bit more than an hour from now. You talk about a Red Sox team that has the momentum on its side in its entirety. You got what you needed from Nathan Eovaldi on Saturday. Chris Sale, he pitched somewhat better than he did against the Tampa Bay Rays. And I put this tweet out on Friday night, and I said, I wholeheartedly believe that Chris Sale needs to be put in the bullpen. I really do. And use him out of long relief because he's still coming back from Tommy John, and he's not right now. I'm not saying that you give up on Chris Sale. That's not what I'm saying. You put him in the bullpen. You use him in long relief the same way that you're using Garrett Whitlock, who has become the biggest weapon in the Red Sox bullpen right now. That's your guy, Garrett Whitlock. He's become that important to your franchise, ladies and gentlemen. And here we are at 6:54 p.m. Eastern Time. I'm going to wrap up the program in just a moment. But I'm going to give you my final thoughts. Brought to you by yours truly, Shukri Wright, on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. And I want to start by saying that these next 3 days could be really interesting. And I think it's going to be really fascinating to see how this all plays out. And I think a lot of it because if you think about just how important these next couple of days are going to be. Game 3, as we all know, is just a little bit more in an hour from now. Also, Game 4 is tomorrow night. Game 5 is Wednesday night. So we know that this series is, in fact, going to go at least 5 games, minimum. Red Sox, they haven't lost at home in the postseason yet. And this crowd at Fenway Park is going to be absolutely electric tonight. It's going to be a lot of fun. I think this is going to be a really good pitching matchup that could low-key dictate and as well as determine what the outcome of the game is going to be. But if you're a Red Sox fan, you're hoping that Eduardo Rodriguez gives you length in this game. It helps save the bullpen. Like, if he can give you at least 6 innings tonight, I think you're going to be just fine. I really believe that. So it's going to be fascinating to see how this all unfolds for the Boston Red Sox over the course of the next 3 games, beginning tonight and then tomorrow and as well as Wednesday. But right now, you're sitting pretty if you're the Boston Red Sox. So enjoy the game tonight. That's going to do it for this edition of the Shukri Wright Show here on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Touch Free Farm Radio. I'll be back here with you again possibly in a couple of days. Maybe tomorrow. I don't know. But follow me on Twitter at Shukri Wright, at SHUKRIWRIGHTS for any updates and information when I will be on the airwaves. I will tweet it out. I'll post it across social media. Follow me on Twitter. And that's going to do it. This is Shukri Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Touch Free Farm Radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. Coming up next, here on these very same station airwaves, we have another program coming up. And that program is going to be Black Stripes or White Keys with Trisha and Kayla. That's coming up next right here on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Enjoy the rest of your night, guys. Peace.